welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Thanks so much for joining us here for about the next 10 minutes or so as we get you ready for week four, which of course gets started early here on Sunday morning. We got the Vikes and the Saints getting in a street fight in sleepy London town, hence the Rolling Stones to start us up on the Friday podcast. With me, as always, in the booth is my guy, Dell. Hopefully you were able to watch Speed this week. I know you're a busy guy. Did you get to see it?
I'm very busy, but I did. I made some time for you, of course. I always have time for you. But I was more intrigued by Thursday night's game. I like that a little more.
Yeah, definitely an interesting game. A lot of stuff comes out of that game, and we'll touch on it here in a sec. So before we get started here, two things. So first, if you like what we're doing on the Sharp 600, please let us know. Take a few minutes, write and review the podcast. Much appreciated. And the second thing, and I'm going to get a little serious on the podcast, which is something I don't normally do, but what we saw with Tua Tagovailoa last night, scary stuff. And definitely with the rise in popularity of things like fantasy sports and DFS and sports betting, it can become very easy to lose sight of your humanity when it comes to having money on games and then having an injury like that impact the outcome. So, I mean, whether you won or lost bets on Thursday, just a reminder that all those odds and the info and the analytics and everything that we do here, it all boils down to real people doing what is a very dangerous job. And I'll be honest, I expected a little more nastiness from gambling Twitter, which is not always the most tactful Twitter, but folks on both sides of the betting results, winners and losers, showing true compassion and concern for Tua. So we definitely need more of that. And everyone seems kind of united in their overall disgust of the Miami Dolphins as well. Hoping for a quick and considerate recovery for Tua, who is playing fantastic. But at this point, you know, football is not the most important thing to worry about. So hopefully he gets back on the field in a safe manner. So just want to put that there, little PSA out there. But Dell, give me 600 seconds on the clock.
Okay, let's run.
All right, so we popped confetti on the Tuesday show, celebrated our 3-0 ATS week for NFL underdog picks on Tuesday. We talked about my early bet on Jacksonville plus 7.5, which is now down to plus 6.5 against the Eagles on Sunday. If you want that rundown for that game, go back to the Tuesday pod and listen. But I still like Jags at plus 6.5. My other two pup picks for week four are teams with kind of less than sterling perception, but those teams taking on some inferior opponents, I believe, this Sunday. So we start with the Denver Broncos, who bet... I bet at plus 2.5 at Vegas. This look-ahead line was pick 'em in the summer, but it got up as high as Raiders minus 3 this week at some online shops. Are we seriously saying that after 3 weeks of football that the Raiders are a field goal better than Denver right now? I mean, I know it's in Vegas, but still, there's going to be a lot of orange shirts in the stands. People want to lean into this desperation angle with Josh McDaniels' team, but I mean, they're 0-3, and they shouldn't need to go 0-3 to have a must-win game. And then the betting public still very sour on the Broncos after another less-than-sexy showing from San Francisco on Sunday, but they won, and they covered as home underdogs. Denver's defense, legit, though, and facing a Raiders offense underperforming in a lot of real key areas, things like third down and red zone, despite playing the likes of Tennessee and Arizona the past 2 weeks, two kind of soft defenses. The Broncos, very stingy in those two aspects. They sit number 5 in DVOA. Wilson in the offense, admittedly, looked great in that game-winning drive. He now faces a terrible Vegas defense that could be missing two starting corners and a starting safety. So give me Denver plus 2.5. The other team everyone loves to shit on right now is Arizona, and they're getting as many as plus 2.5 in Carolina. This one down to as low as Panthers plus 1 at some respected offshores. The Cardinals were minus 2.5 favorites on the look-ahead line in the summer, and honestly, I expected a slow start from them considering who they played, Kansas City, Vegas, and the Rams, but now we're seeing this spread flip for what? I mean, the Panthers are a poor, poor team. You have a Cardinals defense under Vance Joseph that loves to blitz the hell out of quarterbacks. He's now facing a major downgrade in QB competition of Baker Mayfield, who is horrible when he hears the footsteps. Ben McAdoo is the Carolina OC. He was talking about Baker's fundamentals being behind schedule. If you are a Heisman-winning quarterback and a number one overall pick and a pro starter for 5 years, fundamentals is not something that they should be worrying about at week four in the season. I mean, what's he doing in this league if he's not ready to go? Do you toss in a questionable McCaffrey and things do not look good for the Carolina defense? The Cardinals attack, they're missing some wide receivers, still number 11 in EPA per play. Rondale Moore was limited in practice, says he's healthy enough, going to be ready to play. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Murray is a tick up in QB competition for Carolina, considering who they played. I was worried about the weather in this one, but it looks like it's going to be clear. So Arizona plus 2.5. A couple more bets that I got for week four here. Dovetailing into what we just talked about, Baker Mayfield under 206 and a half yards passing. He's terrible under pressure. Arizona, the number one pressure team out there. We saw Baker stink against a similar pressure attack too. Wink Martindale's Giants defense got after him and he was horrible in week two. I like his over half an interception as well, which was even money out there this week. That's a live prop as well. Going back to Jags and Eagles, which is just such a sexy betting game. And if you like those sort of things, which if you listen to the podcast, you do. I have Jacksonville wide receiver Christian Kirk over 57 and a half yards receiving. He's the shifty slot receiver. Definitely enjoying life in Doug Peterson's universe here and a perfect weapon against Gannon's deep zone defense. The Eagles have been roughed up by slot focus guys through 3 weeks. Trevor Lawrence has something going here with Kirk, who's gone for 117, 78, 72 yards in his first three games. I don't expect the Jaguars to have as many touches and as many plays, but I still project Kirk to at least get over the 60-yard mark, which gets him over this total. Another one for Sunday Night Football is Mike Evans, 66 and a half yards receiving. I'm going over on that one. Evans to the rescue here for a bad Bucs attack. Coming into week four, rested and recover from a calf injury thanks to that suspension in week three. The Bucs want to do better on first downs. Evans, fantastic on first downs. He's also a dynamic receiver, really can do it all. He's facing a soft KC secondary that has been torched by top targets. They sit 29th in DVOA versus wide receiver ones at Football Outsiders, allowing more than eight catches, 76 yards per game to those top wideouts. Evans definitely wants to make amends for missing last week's loss to Green Bay. Redemption comes in the form of 67 yards or more on Sunday night. Dell, what do you like? You gave us Thielen touchdown last week. What do you got this week?
You like Mike Evans? I also like Mike Evans. Like you mentioned, he's coming off a one-week suspension, so he's nice and rested. He should feast on this Chiefs secondary. And Casey has allowed seven passing touchdowns, which is tied for the second most in the NFL. So I'm liking Mike Evans anytime TD at plus 115.
All right. The Mike Evans Love Fest Hour. I like it. I like it. So people really like what we did on the Tuesday show. Rihanna's the Super Bowl performer. We assigned some Rihanna theme songs to said teams and people like that sort of thing. So we're going to piggyback off of that. And with the NFL in London this week, the UK has such a rich musical history. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tag a couple teams with some famous English rock groups and rockers, a segment I'm going to call the British Betting Invasion. This one goes out to Pete Watt, who's our great PR guy and a resident Brit. I got a feeling I'm going to catch some shit here for this segment, but let's go. What's first up?
Today was going to be the day, but they'll never throw it back to you.
All right, that's, of course, Oasis, a band that definitely had some great songs, but honestly, overrated. Don't get me wrong here. Champagne Supernova, Don't Look Back in Anger, Wonderwall, which was that, classics. But beyond that, I am not sold on this band as a great band. You know who else is overrated here entering week four of the NFL season is the Philadelphia Eagles. They had three hits, 3-0, but they came against defenses ranked 22nd, 25th, 29th in DVOA. The market lost its damn mind and set Philly as a minus 7.5-point favorite against the Jaguars. Given my bets, you know where I'm at on this one. It's moved down to 6.5. I'm going to give the Eagles the Gallagher brothers treatment here in week four. I don't want anything to do with you. What do you get next?
But I'm a creep.
All right, that's Radiohead, which is a good band, but they're fucking weird. And an NFL team that on Radiohead levels of weirdness right now are the Minnesota Vikings. This is one team that I have no idea what to do with from a betting standpoint. I expected big things of them entering the season. They lived up to that in week one. They beat up on Green Bay. And then they turn out to be fake plastic trees in week two for Philly in Monday Night Football. Week three, they fall behind 14-0 to the Lions, tie at 14-14. They fall behind 24-14. They storm back to win 28-24, but leave betters high and dry as 6.5-point chalk. Now in London for another just weird game here. Open minus 2.5, jump to minus 3 with the Saints dinged up. It moves up to minus 3.5 with Andy Dalton possibly starting for New Orleans, but then buy back on New Orleans, coming back down to 3. So no surprises, my ass. The Vikes are a weird team on Radiohead levels. Last one. The That's Black Sabbath, of course, who famously replaced lead man Ozzy Osbourne with Ronnie James Dio in the early 80s. And while the band was still pretty good, it wasn't Ozzy. In the San Francisco 49ers, they had to replace their lead man, Trey Lance, who got injured, installing Jimmy G at quarterback. And Jimmy G keeps them afloat, but he's not biting the heads off of any bats out there. This team is far less dangerous on offense. We saw that in week three against the 49ers. 31st in EPA per play for week three. The Niners as big as -2.5, hosting the Rams. Down to -1 at Pinnacle. Now time for the two-minute drill. All right, two-minute drill time with Arthur DeCesar of the Superbook in Las Vegas. Arthur, heaviest bet game on the board this week?
Well, it's going to be that Sunday night game, which is going to get a lot of pub, KC and Tampa. But if you look at the early slate, really good game, Buffalo and Baltimore will attract a lot of bets.
Mm-hmm. Biggest liability for you guys?
I think it's surprising right now. Steelers, you know, we have Steelers. We took good money at -3 flat and good money -3. -120, and now we're at -3.5. So Steelers are a pretty big liability for us.
Nice. Biggest sharp draw for you guys, either side or total?
You know, Seattle's taken a lot of money. They took really sharp money at 6. We're now all the way to 3.5. Some injury concerns there as well, but It's people, sharp bettors don't feel good about the Lions laying points.
Yeah. Whatever's left of the Lions at this point. Biggest Joes versus Pro split.
You know, this could be a running theme all year, Jason. Joe bettors are always going to be on Buffalo. Pro bettors are on the other side. They're on the Ravens. There was +3.5 that the sharp bettors gobbled up. We're at -3 right now.
Yeah, interesting line. Interesting game overall. A lot of these stacking up. Biggest injury issue influencing the odds for you guys?
Yeah, a couple. Obviously, St. Brown with Detroit hurts. That's their biggest weapon. They have other concerns, too. The London game, the Saints are a mess. Thomas and Winston. And then obviously the Patriots, you know, the Mac Jones, Brian Hoyer thing. But it's kind of the reverse. It doesn't affect the line as much as you think. We don't think Hoyer's as bad as people think he is.
All right. Biggest futures flip-flop now that we're 3 weeks in.
Wow, the Eagles, man. The Eagles have taken so much money in this future market. You could have gotten the Eagles 50-1 in March. They're now 8-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. And how about the Dolphins after the Tua injury?
You know, it's not like a crazy move because – you know, Teddy Two Gloves isn't too bad. I mean, he really isn't, you know. And I understand they're in the AFC and they still got the Big Bad Bills who they've already beaten. But, you know, that drop-off isn't too bad.
All right. And we got to get your best bet here for week four, man. Squeeze it in.
Yeah, I got to get back on the board. Titans +4.
Oh, all right. All right. Going against it. All right. Titans on the road at the Colts. All right, guys, that is it for the Sharp 600 for this episode. Thank you, Dell. Thank you, Arthur. Please rate and review the podcast if you like what you're listening here, and good luck with your bets in NFL Week 4.